The following program may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
It's the Saturday Morning Cereal.
They're great!
What's your emergency?
I wish we had some Cap'n Crunch.
Death waited in the dark at the hands of a man they called the Night Stalker.
Always have to be Lucky Charms.
Yahoo! I'm cuckoo!
Theodore Robert Bundy. You are charged 2 counts burglary, 2 counts murder in the first degree, 3 counts attempted murder in the first degree.
I'll plead not guilty right now.
The refrigerator where Jeffrey Dahmer kept body parts.
They're magically delicious.
I am prepared to die if you say it is necessary.
Recognize me, Dennis!
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Silly rabbit.
What nightmares are made of right here. Jackson telling us stories that will haunt your dreams.
Nah. This is actually one I think that you're going to really like, John.
Really?
Yeah, we've been, we talked about it on our regular show, The Mixed Morning Fix, a little while ago. But I was doing a story about how earlier this week, Bug Hall, who played Alfalfa in the Little Rascals movie.
Yeah.
He was recently arrested in a Texas hotel room because there was like a million empty air duster cans.
He was huffing, right?
He was huffing, yeah, computer duster.
Yeah.
And it was just littered everywhere. So, and that's what they said in the story. I'm sure if there was a mountain of empty air duster cans, there was probably a bunch of other stuff, because I don't think it's technically illegal to have that much air duster. But I don't know. Maybe it is.
Maybe what he was, because he was obviously not in his right frame of mind.
Yeah.
At the time.
Maybe. And public intoxication. I don't know.
And if I remember right, his family is the one who actually called
the
cops.
They did a welfare check.
Right?
They're like, yeah. We haven't heard from him in 2 days.
Right.
While that's not unusual, something feels different this time.
Which, by the way, it made me really sad because the photos of Goldberg from Mighty Ducks, I don't know if you've seen any of those and what has happened to him.
No.
But meth, my friends. Meth.
Oh, don't do meth.
Yeah.
I mean, don't do drugs, but specifically don't do meth.
Yeah.
That's a little gift from me to you.
Thank you.
It'll help you in the long run.
Appreciate
folks. Anyway, well, then you guys told me that there is, you're like, well, the Little Rascals curse has struck again.
Yeah.
As if the Little Rascals curse is a thing.
It's a thing.
It is totally a thing, dude.
I didn't know this. I was unaware when you guys said that it was actually like something people knew about.
Uh-huh.
And the more I read about it, the more I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk about today. It's the Little Rascals Curse.
Oh, fun.
Just because there is so much information that I didn't know that I would like everyone to know about the Little Rascals.
I'm curious because I just knew of it more as it was a curse that happened to, like, the original.
If you were in the original Little Rascals,
that's kind of what I knew about.
Something was going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, and we'll talk a little bit about the math of that later. But
okay,
I'd like to talk first about the Little Rascals and where it came from. Because if you're my age,
yeah,
you might not even know that there are old Little Rascals movies. But the Little Rascals movie we grew up on, starring Bug Hall as Alfalfa, is the only one I knew about forever from 94. But the Little Rascals as a franchise, as a brand, goes all the way back to 1922.
Oh.
That's how far back.
Oh.
So it used to be known as Our Gang. Our Gang was a film, was a series of short films that they would play at the local cinema. You'd go down and you'd be like, two people out of popcorn for a nickel or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And in 1922, it started as silent films. And basically, all it did is follow these poor kids around. It was all about poor kids and the antics, the hijinks that poor kids get into. And it was really interesting. It was actually groundbreaking for the time because obviously cinema was really early, and they hadn't really figured out what to do with child actors. So they were teaching all of the kids at the time and training them the same way that they would treat and train adult actors.
Huh.
So when you think about people like Shirley Temple, she was very precocious, but she was also classically trained as an actor like you would train any adult as an
right.
actor. Whereas the Our Gang films really pioneered the idea of let kids just be kids, because that's what people want to see from kids. They don't want to see kids act like Lucille Ball, you know?
Right.
They want to see kid actors being kids. And that's actually been a really important piece of cinema, even into modern times. When you think of things like Stranger Things or the It cast or any of those, They let the kids just be kids, and that's the best part of it.
I got you. When I see a young kid, and I'm talking like the 6-year-olds or the 7-year-olds, and all of a sudden they do like this incredible scene.
Yeah.
I'm like, how is that even possible?
Dude, Finding Neverland.
Yes.
The end.
Oh,
with
my
Johnny
gosh.
Depp on the bench. Yeah. I was like, ah!
Yes.
I thought you guys were talking about Escaping Neverland. Which
very
is,
different show.
This is Saturday Morning Serial, so I was just like, well, I wasn't going to get hit.
But here we go.
I'd like to. No.
That was not acting.
So our gang became like one of the most popular franchises in American history, especially at the time. It was the thing you went to see.
Right.
And they ended up making hundreds of our gang movies. Down the road, they started adding sound and higher production value, and they went well into the 40s, the way that our gang was, got revived in the 50s, and it just kept getting revived for a little while, and they kept doing these, we would call them TV shows now, but they're serial shorts, where one episode would bleed into the other, So you had to go every week to the cinema to watch it.
Smart.
So anyway, that is our gang. And over the course of filming, like, I think it ended up, I can't find the number, but it ended up being like 238 movies that they made between 1922 and 1944.
Wow.
Jeez.
And there are tons of characters, dozens of kids that have played either the same character in a bunch of different Our Gang movies or a bunch of different characters in all of the Our Gang movies. And as they grew up and aged out, they would just replace them with new kids. And so every, 2 years, they'd have a whole new cast. But that means that there's this huge pool of kids who have been in these films, and it is rumored that they are cursed. All right?
The Our Gang curse.
The Our Gang curse.
Okay.
The Our Gang curse.
Because so much ended up happening to these kids as they grew up and obviously went on with their lives. But a lot of it is really, really tragic. Here's the numbers right here. So the Our Gang producer, his name is Hal Roach. He said that 176 kids played in the 221 Our Gang.
Jeez.
Films. So, only a few of the kids became like stars where they were in all 200 movies or whatever. But there were just so many of them and they were not making any money. It turns out that they were getting paid like $100 a week, which was, good money in the 20s, but
yeah,
please. So as they aged, they weren't making movie star money, and they couldn't do movie star things growing up. They just sort of aged out of Hollywood, and that's when a tragedy started striking. So I'm going to tell you some of these stories of these poor Our Gang folks. This, by the way, you'll never believe where I found this, but it's Uncle John's fast-acting, long-lasting bathroom reader.
Oh. You found my book.
I found the bathroom book.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's where this whole article is listed. So that's where I'm stealing this
Can from. I tell you, I remember those books.
Oh, yeah. My grandpa had them.
Yeah.
Or the big bathroom reader.
The big bathroom reader.
Are
yeah. Barnes
serious?
And Noble used to have like huge displays of these
that's
things.
Why I'm so good at trivia is because I would just constantly read that all the time at my grandpa's house. Yep. All right. We're going to first talk about Carl Switzer. Carl played Alfalfa for a long time.
Yeah.
Like many of the Little Rascals, Switzer had trouble finding movie roles as he grew older. He landed bit parts in certain films like It's a Wonderful Life. So he did.
Oh,
all right. Okay. That was like the biggest movie.
Yeah.
And then in between, he was like supporting himself by bartending. He was a dog trainer for a little while.
Wow.
And between acting gigs, if he wasn't tending bar or acting, he would take people out into the woods and he was a hunting guide. So this guy like very crafty.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess you had to as an actor back in the day because they were making, like, minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
So, in 1959, he got into an argument. It was an argument over $50. And he was 31 years old. He ended up getting shot in the groin and killed over $50.
They shot him in the groin?
I was going to say, I don't care about the money. I'm more worried about the fact that he was shot in the groin.
Yeah.
That's so rude.
Oh. Isn't that horrifying? Ugh, don't shoot me there.
No.
Make it fast, please.
Shoot me in the face, man.
Get it over with. Here's another thing. So Carl's older brother, Harold, he was also in the Our Gang series, but he wasn't a major recurring character the way that Carl was. But Harold, in 1967... killed his girlfriend, and then himself. It was a murder-suicide at the age of 42.
Mm.
Gosh!
Our Gang curse.
And they're brothers.
Right, and like if a TV star these days, or a movie star these days, even if it was just like one thing that they were in, to pull something like this off, you'd be like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But the more you find out about what happened to these kids after our gang, it's...
Gosh.
Anyway, we'll get into it. William Thomas is the next story that we're going to talk about.
Does not sound like a good name. You got two first names, something bad happened.
Like Jackson Carter? Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I know. Point.
William Thomas played Buckwheat when he was in the Our Gang films.
Okay.
But couldn't get a lot of work afterward. After his time in Hollywood ended, he became a technician and worked with the Technicolor Corporation. Oh. So he was still working in entertainment. It was just on the back end, which I think is way cooler.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
In October of 1980, a neighbor who hadn't seen him for several days was like, I should go check on him. Because remember, he was in movies in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and now we're in the 80s. So, you know.
Oh, okay.
They were like, he's getting up there. Probably got to go check in on him. And his neighbor found him dead in his bed. Died of a heart attack at 49.
Whoa.
Yeah, young for a heart attack. I feel like he's not so young that you wouldn't worry about him if you hadn't seen him a couple of days, but he's still way too young to have died of a heart attack.
Yes.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's not good. 49.
Trust me. So far we have Buckwheat, Alfalfa, and his brother.
Yeah.
And then
whoever the bit part was that Alfalfa's brother played.
Okay.
Shot in the groin.
Robert
murder,
Hitchens.
Murder, suicide.
Heart attack.
Yeah. Okay.
Robert Hitchens. He played a character called Weezer.
Weezer.
He's asthma or something?
Yeah, he has an annoying.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they sound like.
Cool. Thank you.
Robert Hitchens, after his time with our gang, was a cadet in the Army Air Corps. And in 1945, he was in training and he was trying to land his plane during a training exercise.
Oh, no.
Crashed and was killed.
Oh, no.
He was 19 years old.
So just in the
fresh
Army.
Fresh little baby.
Yeah
fresh Aww. In the Army, still training, which is just nuts. All right, Matthew Beard. Matthew Beard played a character called Stymie. Are you familiar with Stymie?
He had a sty in his eye.
Ah.
Yeah, they were running out of issues.
They
were
like, they had to write 176 characters. Yeah. They're like, I don't know
what's
Sty
left.
Kid.
Right, yeah.
Stoop Kid's afraid to leave a stoop. So he was a high school dropout, and after he got out of our gang, dropped out of high school, and thinking that his career was going to take off.
Hollywood.
He was going to be a big Hollywood star. But instead, he ended up getting addicted to heroin.
Mm.
And he ended up fighting a heroin addiction for like 20 years, which you don't hear about.
Wow.
Heroin addictions don't last very long.
Yeah, they come and go.
Yeah. And he just kept getting in trouble, just in and out of prison, fighting his heroin addiction. Just sucks. But as of 1970, he had beat it. And he was clean from 70 all the way until 81.
Wow.
Which is really inspiring. But then he ended up getting pneumonia and died at the age of 56.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
It's the curse. Yeah.
He did all of that.
Yeah.
For that?
Well, I mean, it could be our time anytime, Monroe. It could be any of our time.
She's having a hard time
like,
right
these
now.
Ones, I'm just like,
I'm
okay.
I'm furious for him.
It's sad and it's tragic, but like those are medical accidents. I wouldn't exactly call it a curse. But
they're still dying usually before their time.
That's the whole point.
70s, 80s, 90s, not 49.
Dude, can you imagine like all the other kids? Like, oh,
I'm
next.
Yeah, exactly. It's like being a co-host with me on a morning show.
I feel that way every day.
Yeah.
All right, we're moving on to Darla Granson. Darla Granson.
Oh, Darla.
And she was her name. She played
really?
Darla.
You're like two ships passing in the sea.
you are the scum between my toes. That's the letter I prefer. So Darla, she was like the Darla for a long time. So like she had a huge part in it, and I think she actually did a fairly well for herself in entertainment for a while afterward. But in 1979, at the age of just 47, she contracted hepatitis while in the hospital for a minor surgery.
No.
So she went there thinking she was going to get like an ingrown toe or something removed. And then.
You know why?
Hepatitis.
Curse.
Curse.
Ooh. Curse.
She had an ingrown toe?
Yep.
Not a toenail, just an ingrown toe.
Well, her middle toe was an innie. They had to pop it out. They're trying to pop it out. They gave her hepatitis instead.
Ouch.
Any toe. All right. Norman Chaney. Norman Chaney, he played a character called Chubby. Why do you think he was called Chubby?
I don't know. I don't know. It's weird.
I don't understand. So it ended up, and this is, oh, this is the saddest, just so sad.
Oh, no.
His weight ended up being contributed to a glandular problem. I think he ended up having a tumor or something on his thyroid.
Oh.
And that caused him to gain weight really, really rapidly. By the time he was 17, he was over 300 pounds.
Wow.
So in 1935, they had a surgery to treat his condition. I think they ended up removing the tumor. Because obviously gastric bypass wasn't, you know, a thing yet. I don't believe so. And after he had his that tumor removed, he dropped his weight down within like a year.
So definitely
130 pounds. So he lost 170 pounds in a year. But the problem is you cannot lose weight that quickly. And it ended up being so horrible for his health to lose weight that quickly. And the surgery was so awful to him. He died at 18 years old.
He died because of the weight loss surgery?
Yeah, I mean, it's complicated. Obviously, he had a lot of pre-existing conditions.
It's not because of the surgery.
It's because of the
curse.
That's exactly what I was trying to avoid. I was about to be like, well, I think that he blah, blah, blah. Nope.
Nope.
Just say the stupid curse. Isn't that crazy? 18?
Yeah.
So sad. All right. Scotty Beckett. He played a character called Scotty in the show. Scotty was the kid who wore the cap turned to the side of his head, if that's going to help you with anything.
Sure.
I mean, I know John has an extensive knowledge of the Arkane films.
Mm-hmm.
John is the kind of person, though, that pretends he's that guy.
Uh-huh.
He's the guy that loves classic films and everything was better in the 30s.
Let me tell you why.
Like,
I got out of it, but I was a film major. Ugh. There's
oh,
nothing I hate more now.
Film majors are the worst.
I hate film majors and actors. You know
Dude.
Why? Because I was one for about 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you.
I'm glad you recognized that it was
I
you.
I do.
You realize
yes.
there's a film major.
Danny, I'm talking to you specifically.
What's up?
Get out while you can. So he had, he was just like classic messed up child star. You know, like we make him real good now.
Yeah.
But he was kind of one of the OGs of the classic childhood star goes crazy. He slid into alcohol and drug abuse after he sort of, you know, got out of acting. Well, acting got away from him. He didn't get out of acting. He ended up with two failed marriages. They were accusing him of domestic violence and abuse. He was constantly getting in trouble with the law. In 1968, he checked into a Hollywood nursing home after someone beat him up. So you think, wow, someone's beating up an old dude? No, he was definitely out.
He was on,
making trouble.
Yeah, yeah,
he was on drugs. He owed someone money. Something like that happened. I'm sure of it. I didn't look into the details, but had to have been, right? So he gets into this nursing home. 2 days later, he ends up dying in the nursing home.
From what?
All right. So they're looking. They're like, God, was he hit that hard? Was he sick? They found a bottle of pills and a suicide note underneath his bed.
No.
The coroner never actually ruled it a suicide. They just said that he died either from the beating or an overdose on barbiturates, but he left a note, so it was pretty clear
That's not how.
No, that's not why.
That's
how,
that
for
is
sure.
How, but it's not why.
Why, John?
From the curse.
Oh.
I'm going to say, you know, not that I want to disagree with you, but I'm going to say that this one was addiction, not a curse.
Agree to disagree.
Okay, but like,
maybe he was a psychic and he knew that the curse was going to hit him.
All right. William Laughlin, who played Froggy in the original Arkane films, he was 16
years old. Who I was thinking Weezer was.
No, Froggy is this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Scolioli! That's what you're going for, right?
Yeah.
So he was 16 years old, and he had already gotten out. Like, he was done with the Arkane films, from what I understand, and he was working as a newspaper delivery boy. So he's out on his motor scooter, bike, something like that, and he's delivering his newspapers. He got rear-ended by a truck and killed at 16.
Stop it.
16. He's just out doing his newspaper route.
Dude.
I feel like newspaper routes were so dangerous.
He had his stuff together, too.
Yeah, he
wasn't doing drugs, heroin, you know what
I mean? Well, he was 16. He had a lot of catching up to do to everybody
else. Right.
But
that's a good point.
You know.
You never had the chance.
But Drew Barrymore talks about doing drugs when she was like 14 in the 80s.
At Hollywood parties.
Oh,
are you serious?
Oh, my gosh. You want to...
Don't. Old Hollywood stories, if you want to get into the deep, dark, nasty parts of old Hollywood, you can. It'll hurt your feelings. Yep. It sucks. Just when you go back and watch a classic movie, it's just knowing what was going on behind the scenes will make you sick. That's why I can't watch old movies. I'm like, no, because those kids were not being treated very well on the back end here. So gross. All right. Richard Daniels, he played a character called Mickey. He was...
No. John.
So uncomfortable.
No. Also, is that your Mickey Mouse?
Yeah, Mickey Mouse. What'd you think?
I was like, I thought that was Pennywise.
Sorry, Jackson.
So here's the crazy thing. So he was married and he had kids, but his wife and kids, they were estranged. They had left.
Okay.
He was living on his own.
Got it.
And he died alone in a San Diego hotel room in 1970. He had chronic cirrhosis of the liver, so probably an alcoholic. But nobody at the hotel knew who he was. And he didn't check in, I'm assuming, under his real name. So the police kept being like, does anyone know this guy? Years passed.
What?
Can you come look at this dead guy?
Yeah. They hung on to his remains. Look, yeah. I mean, obviously they have to.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So they have unidentified... They had his unidentified corpse on ice for years.
Oh, my gosh.
Until finally his family's like, man, we haven't heard from him for a little while. They call the cops. They had to go down. They identified and claimed his body. He was 55 when he died, and he ended up getting buried in an unmarked grave.
Dude.
So, like, you feel bad for the guy, but also I'm guessing if he was an alcoholic estranged from his family who didn't come looking for him for years,
mm-hmm.
probably a bad dude.
Nah.
Probably real abusive would be my
curse.
Guess. You know?
Yeah.
Or the curse.
The curse.
I'm shocked that you didn't have your UFO.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. This one is one of the probably the most famous ones. And it's the one that everyone I feel like saw this and they went back and like, well, there's this. And this connects to this. And this connects to this. It's a curse.
It's a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bobby Blake. Robert Blake. You might know him a little bit better as later in his life.
Robert
Blake. So back when he was in the Our Gang films in the 40s, he went by his real name, which was Mickey. But later on in his acting career, changed his name to Robert Blake.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. So you guys already know what's about to happen.
Tell us.
He's a turd.
All right. In the 90s, Blake took up with a woman named Bonnie Lee Bakley. And he didn't know it at the time, but she was... like a con artist, and she was obsessed with celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And so she basically wanted to have a baby. Like her goal, her big dream was to trap a celebrity and have a baby with baby trapping.
Yep.
Right? That was what she wanted to do.
That was my goal with Oprah for a while.
You wanted to baby trap Oprah?
Yeah.
Bad news for you.
I don't think it's going to work.
And she had tried a few times unsuccessfully with other celebrities, but Robert Blake, on the other hand, was like, yeah, bring it over here. In 2000, Bakley gave birth to Blake's daughter. 5 months later, they were married. All right. That's the last time you're going to feel good about this mm-hmm. story. I mean, I don't feel good about it because she's tricking him into a baby. On May 4th, 2001, so I don't know that they've even been married a year yet, Bakley was shot in the head and killed while sitting in her car outside of a restaurant where she and Robert Blake had just eaten. So they had already had their meal.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'm going to go wait in the car. And mm-hmm. while he's paying or whatever, she gets shot in the head in the parking lot. So while he's paying, quote unquote, allegedly.
Uh-huh.
In April of 2002, Robert Blake ends up getting arrested and charged with her murder. But in March of 2005, a jury found him not guilty.
Dude.
Because they just like, we can't prove that
there's not evidence enough to do it.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, obviously he did it. And it's one of those things where we're like... I have to say allegedly, and I have to actually say no because he got uh-huh. exonerated, I guess, but he did it.
Yeah.
Come after me. basically, though, with all the media coverage and the lawyers and all of the reputation damaging that went through, because remember, it took 4 years from time it happened to the time that he ended up getting proven not guilty or got a not guilty sentence. It was 4 years for that. And he ended up losing everything in that 4 years. He went completely broke, was completely destitute, allegedly. So I guess you could look at it two ways. Either he is a sad, broke widower whose wife was murdered in cold blood after a romantic date after they hadn't even been married a year, or he definitely killed his wife.
Or...
And listen, 9 times out of 10 when a wife dies, husband did it.
Or you could look at it a third way, that it's the curse!
Dun, dun. You looked at me, I thought I was going to do the sound effect.
I had an organist brought in.
Yeah.
So there.
These are some other ones. They're not as involved, so they're just really quick stories. But Robert Young, who played a character called Bone Dust, this one is one of the craziest.
Bone Dust?
Yeah. He was at a hotel in 1951. He fell asleep while smoking in bed. Burned to death.
Bone Dust.
Oh, my.
He became Bone Dust. Yeah. Oh. Not horrifying. Jay Smith, who played Pinky, he was stabbed to death in 2002 by a homeless man whom he had befriended. The homeless man then dumped his body in the desert outside of Las Vegas. He was 87.
Oh, so, my gosh.
87-year-old guy. Now, I'd imagine at 87, he was probably homeless as well and was like, but I didn't look into it. So it's possible that he was just a nice old man who was like, oh, come on, downtrodden citizen,
like, hey,
I'll feed you.
I beat that little rascal's curse. Come over here. Let me spread the good cheer.
Dorothy Dandridge, who played a character called Dorothy, committed suicide in 1965 after losing all of her money in a phony investment scheme.
Oh.
So she got conned out of all of her money and was like, well, no, she was only 41. Which I feel like is enough to make some your nest egg back. But I don't know. Kendall McComas, also known as Breezy Brisbane, took their own life in 1981, 2 weeks before being forced into retirement as an electrical engineer. So he had dedicated his whole life to becoming an electrician, and at 64, they're like, listen, you're going to be 65, that's retirement age. We're not making you retire, but it would be in your best interest to retire. And unfortunately, he took his life.
Oh, really sad. That's sad.
Gosh, listen to all these.
Because of the curse.
The curse.
Darwood K played Waldo. Waldo was the rich kid, so played later by, what's his name?
Yeah, the blonde-haired dude.
The kid.
Uh-huh.
You are so beautiful. Or he's no, all, L.
He's in so many things.
Yeah, L is for love. He's great. So he played Waldo in the R Gang series. In 2002, he was involved in a hit and run. He got hit and killed. While walking on the sidewalk. He was 72.
Oh. How are you going to just run over a 72-year-old guy and then keep going?
All right. Hear me out. This is the saddest one, in my opinion.
Oh.
Petey the pup.
Oh, no.
The first dog to play Petey.
Don't do it.
In 1930, was poisoned by an unknown assailant. They just went to the lot and poisoned the dog.
What?
Bounced on out of there. Why?
Why?
What monster? What monster does that?
They were making a point about something.
I know. It was probably one of those monster kits.
Truly.
One of those little animals. They were just you're not going to pay me $100. We're going to poison your dog. Okay. So here's what I'm going to say about all this. That's obviously a list of tragedies.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of tragedies.
Yes.
And everyone will, because of all that, say...
The curse.
The curse. Ah. So... I went on Snopes and I looked around there about the R Gang curse.
Uh-huh.
And they're basically like, look, here's the thing. There were 100+ kids. If you had taken a sample size of kids between the 20s and 40s, and if there were 100 of them, you're going to see a long list of tragedies just like that.
Mm-hmm.
We just keep an eye on them. Because they're like, if you looked at any kid who was in our gang, it was every kid. Every kid in Hollywood was in there at some point. So naturally, you're just going to have a lot of weird things happen. Let me find. They basically took the 29 child actors who were in almost every our gang film or were in a lot of them. They're like, we're not doing every tragic story from everyone who was in more than one our gang film because we just don't have the time for that. But they took the 29 most... the biggest ones. And here's what they found. 55 of those actors are either still alive today or lived to be at least 72. So they have a longer than average life expectancy, actually. 76% of the actors reached the average life expectancy at birth for the time. So if if life expectancy when you were born was 62 and you made it to 62, great.
Yeah.
And 76% of them did. So that's not so bad. 83% of the actors reached what we would now consider, quote, middle age, so 40 or higher. And this may not sound impressive by our standards, but it's a significant figure given that the average life expectancy at birth for most of those actors was 50.
Oh.
So over 80% made it over where they were supposed to. Now, this is the tragic side. And I'm going to say this because the percentages are, you know, it'll put things into perspective, but I don't want it to sound like I'm diminishing this by any means. Three of the actors, so 10%-ish of the actors that they looked into, were victims of homicide. Mm. So 10%, that's still higher than you would want.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
I don't want to live in that neighborhood.
Right. Two of them were killed in accidents, which would account for about 7%. One of them that they looked at, had taken their own life, so that's 3% right there. Two of the actors, 7%, died prematurely from medical ailments. And two of the actors, 7%, had significant problems with substance abuse. So when you look at it through that lens, and you look compared to the percentages of people who did really well afterward, or well enough at least to make it, obviously it's much lower.
Yeah.
And I think we all have a black sheep in our family. If you studied 100 of our family members, those percentages in my family would probably be higher.
So, no, I think it's a curse.
It's a curse.
It's an absolute curse.
It's a curse. You can say whatever you want. It's a curse.
I know, but I've got math.
No. Nope.
I've got math, and I've had people who are studying.
It's a curse!
It's a curse.
I'm not going to try to talk you out of this. That's your Saturday morning cereal.